Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's just beautiful. I feel so peaceful.
That house band has totally interpreted this show musically.
Absolutely. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, could you make a career out of playing blackjack? Mike Aponte, the world's greatest blackjack player, is right here with us to tell us how. It involves more than counting to 21. Also, nutritionist Allison Rue ponders Paula's diet. How healthy are dinners of double stuffed Oreos and Diet Pepsi? You might be surprised. No, you probably won't be. I'm Adam Felber, your croupier of common sense. And now, please welcome the woman who always throws the dice off the table, even when she's playing poker, Paula Poundstone.
Well, thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula, and thank you to tonight's house band flautist, Diana Morgan. Now, are you a flutist or a flautist, Diana?
Well, in America, I'm a flutist, and in Canada, I'm a flautist.
Oh, that must make the transition difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when she goes across the border, she goes,
yeah, it's got to be.
It's a painful, yeah.
Also, it's a weird inversion of the whole about a boot thing, because here you say flautist and about, and there you say flutist and a boot.
It's true. I have no explanation for that.
I hadn't even thought about that. No. To me, flautist sounds a little on the highfalutin sound side.
That's where I come from. It's pronounced highfalutin.
It is a little highfalutin. So yeah, I'm much more comfortable with flutist. Frankly, if she was a flautist, I wouldn't have her in here.
All right, let me redo her intro. Thank you to tonight's house band flutist, Diana Morgan.
Nice. I feel comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Is Diana Morgan the name of Wonder Woman in the movie? Diana something.
Diana.
Yeah. I can't remember. I don't think it's Morgan.
No, it's not. No. It's like Reeves. No, Diane Reeves is some. No.
I don't know.
But I am.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Paula, I want to start us off with some breaking news from Hungary. And I'm not kidding. Breaking news from Hungary. We got an email from Professor Joseph Horvath, who writes, quote, "Do you want an accent or not? I can't do a Hungarian accent. I think I can claim the prize for running the first European university course featuring the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone podcast. For short." This is his joke, not mine. He's teaching a course in listening and speaking skills for English as a foreign language And we, you and me, are part of the syllabus.
Wow. That is high praise.
It is really high praise.
I can imagine. So they're learning English? They're learning how to talk.
They're learning how to talk good like you.
Speaking skills.
Speak good well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I imagine they say fuck a lot if they're listening to our show.
Once they start, yeah, they probably started with wait, don't tell me. And then they started listening to us and thought, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. First they thought it's a con. Yeah. Because I like to use all the words that I know in English. Wow, that is very high praise. I have, what is it, Yosef?
Yes, it's probably Yosef.
Okay. I have bad news for Yosef, which is he said that he thought he would claim a prize. We have no prize for that.
You know,
as flattered as I am, I haven't yet created a trophy.
For the first European university course featuring Nobody Listens to Paula Pounce on podcast. And he Oh, no.
I can do a balloon animal.
We established last week you can't.
Of a trophy. This is for, was it Yosef? This is for the prize for running the first European university course featuring Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone podcast. Hold on.
Professor Horvath, I want to apologize in advance for this because in point of fact, Paula Poundstone can barely inflate a spherical balloon and tie it off.
Not true.
And I mean barely. You were listening to, the reason I got to speak such a long sentence is because she was really huffing and puffing to fill that thing up.
No, I was working out all day so I could do this.
Okay.
Now, originally I was going to make a bush baby eating a Tic Tac, but I've changed it into a picture of a professor teaching a Hungarian class speaking English based on our podcast.
That is not what that is.
Can you see that?
No.
Can you see that?
No, I can't see it.
Yeah, can you see the bristly beard?
I see that you happen to have a balloon in your pocket that has polka dots on it. Is that the bristly beard?
It could be. It could be the bristly beard. Oh, no, the polka dots are because it has. They have a rash. It's a professor with a rash. He's taking tomorrow off.
No, he's not.
Yeah. A beautiful.
No, he's teaching his course.
It's a beautiful
Professor Horvath,
balloon
animal. Not only are we honored, we are probably going to try to get you on the phone at some point. I know there's kind of a time difference between Hungary and here. But
He's up.
He's probably up.
Yeah, he's up.
Because I would love to hear more about this course, and I'd love to know which episode it was, or did you just let them listen to any episode? Because I'd be hoping it would be the one where our survivalist, Thomas Coyne,
didn't show up
because he passed away in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
To review, like we do every week, the neighborhood surrounding spacious and luxurious Ray Horseman Studios is not necessarily Los Angeles' finest neighborhood.
I spent, the neighbors, I think, gawk at me when I pull up. I spent at least 10 minutes parallel parking between two cars that really have been dented before.
Right. You didn't necessarily have to be as careful as you.
I don't think so.
Right,
I don't think anyone would have noticed
the
new dents.
No, if you told them you made a dent in their car, they'd be like, where? And you'd be like, well, in that other dent?
Yeah. Yeah. People are leaning their head out the window. Don't you dent that dent.
My mom gave me that dent.
Yeah, that's right. Watch it. You screwed up my scratch.
I've been working on that scratch for a long time. No, I have yet to see an undented car around here. And I think it's because people keep tossing mattresses out the window because there's a lot of mattresses out there.
Yeah, and apparently you don't know when they're coming. I mean, we see them once they've landed, but apparently there's an hour of the night where people just in frustration
toss mattresses
the
out.
The sex in this neighborhood is so hot.
Yeah, that the mattress goes twee and flies out the window.
In the middle of the night, in a victory toss, they just throw the mattress out
this
the window.
It's never going to get any better for this mattress. So.
And you know what? I happen to have made a balloon animal of a mattress.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Yeah, it's
well,
a new
it's
one.
It's more believable as a mattress than a trophy.
This is a mattress for the hot sex award on Miranda Avenue.
It's still a sphere. Hey, but we have other business to get to, which is we have more theme songs entries into our theme song contest. Would you like to hear some of them?
Wait a minute. I was doing an interview today, and the woman asked me if we'd selected a theme song yet. I said, no, not yet.
Like, at what point do we want to stop milking this? And I'm going to think,
You know what? I said, they're still coming in.
They're still coming in, and there's a lot of intricate rules to the contest, so we can't interfere with the orderly progression of the contest.
Yeah, we don't want to cut off the entries just yet.
No, we're not ready to do that, to have a real theme song. Okay, so this one comes from listener Yarrow Marchin.
Azo,
wellspring of wisdom, a fountain of knowledge. Your guru and guide, your free podcast college. If you just paid attention, your mind would be blown. But nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Paula Poundstone. Paula Poundstone.
All right.
Well, that is nice.
That's slithery, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that he chose to rhyme blown with Poundstone. We've had a lot of own rhymes, but I don't think we've had blown yet.
No, we haven't had blown.
I did scone.
Think for a variety of reasons that word would just come up in people's mind when they think Paula Poundstone, partly because of my balloon animal
All right, I'm gonna submit the career
that I've made in balloon animals.
Well, you haven't, in fact.
I have. Blown. You didn't hear that? Blown. No, that's what they were referring to.
No, he wasn't. Because he sent this to us before you launched this second career last week on the podcast.
No, I've been working at this at home for a long time.
All right, well, let's leave blown. This house of lies behind. And this one, you're going to love this one.
Okay.
Listener... Ricardo Johnston writes in, and he submitted some commentary with it, in that he associates you with TV from the 60s and 70s, partly because you speak of it fairly frequently.
Well, and the Dick Van Dyke Show is my Bible.
Right.
I often read from the book of Buddy.
I can't say that's a terrible Bible, but what I love here is that he gave you some full orchestration to really do up our show like some kind of 60s or 70s TV show.
Sounds great.
Let's hear it.
Paula, Paula, nobody listens to Paula. Yes, she's a genius, and her advice is life-changing in a good way. But nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Sweet, right?
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, I thought it was...
They used one of the tips that I gave a few weeks ago about submitting theme songs was to use the word genius.
Yes, that definitely increases your chances in some way or another.
Yeah.
As I said, the rules are very complicated.
I think it does. You know, and I don't know if in the end that will be the theme song or not, but I do think that at the very least... I'm going to make for him a balloon animal.
And what's this one going to be? Because to me, it looks like a black balloon with white typeface that says happy birthday and is in the utterly conventional shape that we associate with most balloons.
Well, that's where you're totally wrong.
Okay.
This is Buddy Sorrell from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Maury Amsterdam. He did have dark black hair. He had like shoe polish black hair.
And he did have a fairly round head, didn't he?
No. He had an oblong head, and I've captured that here. This is from the episode where he plays the cello. Do you see the cello?
I think, to me, that looks more like the episode where he plays the birthday balloon. But that is, in fact, an episode of Dick Van Dyke Show, Paula, you nailed it.
No, I don't think you remember the show very well, Adam.
I guess I don't.
Because that's exactly what it looked like.
I have one more theme song, and you'll see in a second why I really dig this one, too. This is from listener Tim McCoy.
If you don't turn your radio on, then nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
That's it. Okay.
That's nice.
There's a lot to love here. Number one, it's very to the point.
Yeah, it is. It's brief, which leaves us more time to talk during the show.
Absolutely. That's kind of an important point.
And I'm a fan of that notion.
You're going to want that time.
Yeah,
because a lot of it's just given to you exhaling into a balloon. So
yeah.
Like
I've actually been approached by a bouncy house company.
You haven't?
To inflate the bouncy houses.
Really?
Starting out just a rubberized canvas, and then they say I can blow it into whatever shape I want to. Blown. So the other thing about that last theme song.
One sentence long.
Okay. There was some technical misinformation in it.
There's a real problem there, isn't there? You caught
which
that.
Which is, yeah.
It's a one sentence long, and the opening clause, the dependent clause, maybe it's not the dependent clause. The point is that
it's the codependent clause.
If he says, if you don't turn your radio on.
Yeah.
Then nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
In point of fact, this is not a radio show.
Yeah.
We are not on anybody's radio.
No. honestly, we're not even on that many people's podcast thingy.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, we're getting there. He's really
leaning into it. Yeah, yeah. If you don't turn your television on, nobody listens to Paul Poundstone.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't go to the movies, nobody listens to Paul Poundstone.
If you don't read the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, if you don't let in the door-to-door salesman, nobody listens to Paul Poundstone.
Yeah. It's not really a conditional phrase when you consider that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for us to move on, and what I want to really move into is we're introducing a really exciting new segment tonight. We're hoping this becomes a regular thing with us. It's another way of getting into talking to a guest that involved you, Paula, and this all started with recent experience.
Otherwise, when that guy turns his radio on, I'm not going to be there.
You're still not going to be there, yeah. So I understand you had a recent road experience that inspired this new segment.
Well, I did. You know, I love my job. Don't get me wrong. I do love my job. I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. I get to go around the country telling my little jokes in theaters, and I have the greatest audience in the entire world. But there are times,
right?
Like last week, the hospitality person at the theater in Ohio picked up a to-go order of vegetarian food for me, and I opened a container that was supposed to be a Caesar salad, and it was, I'm not kidding, about 2 pounds of large, oddly cone-shaped chunks of raw beef.
So not totally vegetarian.
No, okay. not what I was expecting. And my favorite part of the story is that the hospitality woman found it odd. So she asked the theater manager, "Does Paula eat raw meat? Like, what am I, Rosemary's Baby?" Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why we're launching our new segment, Welcome to Career Corner. Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now.
They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Thank you, Diana Morgan.
That's perfect. Thank you.
So, yes, for Career Corner, where we learn about the wide world of jobs. Would you like to be a fireman? How about an astronaut? Maybe you'd like to make a living as a spot welder, whatever that is. What can you do with your life? Well, Career Corner has the answer, and this week, let's explore a career as a professional blackjack player.
Oh, that sounds great. You know, I just want to say one thing. I do know what a spot welder is.
Yeah.
It's how I got this mark right here. It's a spot.
That's like a skin blemish.
No, I had a spot welded on.
Oh, you had a spot welded on?
Yeah, he has a spot welded.
You really should never do that. Just a tattoo would do. Okay, so to help us find out about the world of blackjack, we have, this is a really special guest. This is a good get right here. We're joined by, and I'm not making this up, the best blackjack player in the world. Mike Aponte was one of the leaders of the MIT counting card team, which the book Bringing Down the House was based on and the movie 21 was based on. Mike was also the first World Series of Blackjack winner. He's so good, Vegas casinos no longer let him play there. Let's have a big Career Corner welcome for Mike Aponte.
Let me get this straight. Mike, you worked yourself right out of a job there in the casinos?
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Too good for my own good, I guess.
Well, I play blackjack every so often, but the lucky thing about the position I'm in is the casinos think of me as an idiot, so they welcome me.
They welcome most gamblers,
yeah,
for sure.
Until today. Right?
Now, could you have done it differently? Is there any way you could have won more subtly and extended your career in casinos?
I get asked that a lot. We could have won a slower pace, but it would have taken longer.
So. Right. So you took the money and ran, and then we're banished.
Yeah,
for
all I think
time.
Once you get to a certain level, you just might as well go all out, which is what we did.
And you went all out, right? You harnessed you took in a little bit of money there.
Yeah, we did pretty well. It was over a 6-year stretch. We won almost $15 million.
Wow. I could do this job. I know I could do this job. I'm sure I'd be very good at this job.
Well, let's find out, Mike.
And no one will know it's me. They won't care. Mike, in order to make a living playing blackjack, is there a lot more math to it than counting to 21?
There is. Yeah, the math is a little bit more involved than counting to 21, but it's actually not as hard as people think. The most common math you're doing is simple arithmetic, adding or subtracting one or two.
I'm very good at adding or subtracting one or two. How many millions again?
Almost 15, yeah.
Wow. Wow, yeah. If it takes adding or subtracting one or two, I am in.
Okay, so let me just give you my understanding of how this counting thing works. Like, you look at all the cards on the table, right? Everybody's cards, the dealer's, yours, everybody's. And for every card number 2 to 6, you give it plus one, you add one. For every card 7 to 9, you ignore it. And for every card 10 to ace, you take away one. So you're just keeping a running tally of whether your table is in the pluses or the minuses and how far. So if I'm right, you're not really counting every card in the deck, are you?
No, that's a big misconception, one that I had myself. My first exposure, if you could call it that, to card counting was my freshman year in college. I watched the movie Rain Man.
And oh, wow.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, Rain Man. Sure, that's my exposure to cheating at cards.
Yeah, so I'm sure you were like me, where I thought you had to have a photographic memory. I have a pretty good memory, but yeah, I'm not a savant like Rain Man. But then little did I know, 3 years later, I would actually get recruited onto a card counting team. And
Excuse me, Mike. When you say a team... Uniforms? Are they uniforms? Because that could be partly how you got caught.
I was one of my best friends, when he first told me about this, I had the same, I was kind of very skeptical like you, because I didn't know much about card counting, much less that it could be a team activity.
Yeah. How is it a team activity?
Well, it's kind of like any business. You could do it solo, but if you find the right people and you kind of... and you combine your efforts, then you can come out ahead.
So faster. You guys would all sit at the same table at times?
very briefly, but the way it worked, we used what you call big player strategy. So I was a big player on the team. I was kind of the big one of the big money guys. And then I would play with spotters. So the job of the spotters were to go onto the casino floor, blend in, and then they would each keep track of the count at different tables from a start of a new shuffle. And then when the count moved into the player's favor, they would signal that they had a hot shoe, which is really simple.
Just a hot simply, shoe?
Well, the thing that the cards are kept in is called a shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Where you keep
know
the
that.
Multiple decks.
Well, basically, another way to put it that, oh, this table's now in our advantage. And we had a simple signal for that, which was just crossing the arms, which is so natural. So when I saw that, I'd head over to the table quickly, and then they would pass off the count verbally using a code word. So we had a mnemonic list for each number, 1 through 21, very obvious associations, like the number 11, football. You know, number 7,
on the field, yeah.
Craps. And so the important thing...
How did they do craps?
Well, 7 is like the most important number in craps. So, yeah, casinos, as you know, are very noisy, and the cameras can't record audio. So you could practically scream out the count. The important thing was not to make eye contact. So ideally, if I was coming in on the left side, the spotter would kind of look to his right and say, football, you know. And then as soon as I heard that, I knew the count was 11. I would sit down, capitalize on the advantage.
What does that mean, the count was 11?
Well, this is the adding one and subtracting two thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's
right?
The running count. And so what the count is, in blackjack, the reason why it's the only table game in which you can beat the casino is that it has, one way to put it, it has a memory. So like, for example, if you compare that to roulette, like every time you spin a roulette wheel, it's a brand new game. So a lot of people waste their time keeping track of where the ball
landed.
And
they fool you in the casinos by putting up a tally of what they've shown before as though...
As though that somehow
influences the 1 in 38 chance of the next ball, right?
Yeah,
it's 1 in 38,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason, as you pointed out, that they put that up there just to kind of feed into that myth. That
you're like 5 is hot tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I've got a friend who's convinced he has a system. I would never name comedy writer Dan Cronin in this regard. But
I go
to Vegas with him, and he's like, no, Felber, I got this.
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's different every time.
Yeah.
So most gamblers, there's no rhyme or reason to what they bet. It's like lucky feeling, or they get frustrated because they lost their last bet. Whereas card counters, they're betting based on their actual advantage. So the general idea is to bet little or nothing when the house has the edge, and then bet more and more as player advantage increases. So we talked about how blackjack has a memory. Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a really simple example. Single deck blackjack.
Yeah.
So single deck obviously has 4 aces.
Right.
So if all 4 aces are dealt in the first round, your odds of getting blackjack become what?
0.
0.
Yeah,
because the
aces are gone.
That would be a bad time to like bet a lot of money.
Okay.
So that's a simple example.
I had to really process that for a few seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're getting closer to the answer of this career corner.
Yeah, no, how much did you make again?
Nearly 15 million?
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I might make 14 million. I don't think I can do the 15 million, but 14 million.
I'd peg
million.
You for at least 10 million.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
Everyone knows blackjack is a good thing, but they don't realize how great it is because blackjack pays 3-2. That's 150%. But what about when the dealer gets blackjack? The dealer only takes even money from you.
Right, because the dealer can't take more money than you just...
Exactly. So that's the number one reason why card counters count, to know when there's a greater probability of getting paid blackjack. Now, the second value of those high cards is when you're doubling down. And so when you're doubling down on 11 or 10, obviously you'd like to get dealt a high card,
like
right?
10 or
so
9, yeah.
Anyone who's played blackjack knows the pain of doubling down and getting dealt a 2.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of screwed at that point. And then the third value of the high cards to the player is...
Can I guess?
Sure.
Increases the odds of the dealer going bust.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It increases the odds of deer busting when the dealer's hitting on 12 through 16.
Right, that's what I mean.
So that's important because as a player, you have the option to stand on any total, whereas the dealer has to play like a robot.
So even if the dealer knows that there's like nothing but 10s left, he has to hit on 12, so... That's that, right?
Exactly. Like the dealer essentially never makes any decisions. It's very, it's robotic. Does the same thing
That's
every time.
That's why their marriages don't do so well.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I want to ask a couple of important questions before we get to playing a hand or two, which is, number one, Paula, you told me that typically you provoke a certain reaction at blackjack tables.
Yeah, I love to play blackjack in a hotel. In a casino, because I like the social life part of it. But, and I don't know if you can guess that just by looking at me, but I'm not really all that knowledgeable about the game.
like a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10.
I've been known to count the dots on the cards with my fingers, like Joni from Happy Days.
Wow.
Yeah. And what happens sometimes is I sit down at a table where there's people that are mad that I don't play well. Now, and to me, that's just part of the luck of the night for them. It was unlucky that I happened to sit with them. But so what's the deal with that? I mean, is that an appropriate response on their part?
Well, you know, what is it about a bad player that makes good players mad at them?
It's selective memory. It's hindsight's 20/20. But you're absolutely right, Paula. Those people are 100% wrong and focusing on the things they shouldn't be. A really simple example is everyone knows, right? You shouldn't split tens. Horrible play. Let's say you have a really bad player, splits tens 3 times, dealer pulls 21. You know what happened. Everyone's screaming bloody murder. But let's say that same player splits the tens multiple times and the dealer ends up busting because of that. Are people like high-fiving that player?
I think not.
No, they're saying, did you see what that moron did? He almost cost the whole table.
Oh, so they're still mad.
Yeah, they're still mad. It's selective memory. And the thing about blackjack, it's a series of one-on-one battles. It's each player against the dealer. So the thing you really should be focusing on is how you play.
So that makes me feel much better that these people are just playing rude. Because I was going to say, if I was a liability at the table, then you, with your system where the people stand and they shout things and they can say anything because the audio doesn't pick it up, they could go, Mike, move, Paula's coming. So I think this is good that it turns out it doesn't matter if I sit beside you or not. If I sat down beside you and your team, would you like close up shop and move to another table?
Well, because of your volume, yes, I'd say.
Well, if you were calling out, our code words, yes.
Yeah,
but
no, I would never do that.
No, let me ask you this.
Say, Mike, didn't he just say football?
When Paula earns like her fifth or sixth $1 million, what should she look out for in terms of like how to mask it so that she doesn't get caught the way you did?
Thing to keep in mind is like we were betting a lot of money, like up to 10,000-15,000. That just gets a completely different level of scrutiny.
Yeah,
your average card counter, like if you go to the strip in Vegas, you can count cards and bet up to, like, let's say you're playing at Bellagio, bet up to $500 a hand. For Bellagio, that's nothing. For individual a lot, they'll never even take the time.
So
to
So just
look
bet 500 at a time, Paula. That's easy.
Yeah, that's a
because
good idea.
There's something that Paula Poundstone is. It's patient.
Yeah, and
one
keep
might
in
even
mind,
say OCD.
I'd be playing with podcast money. So
that's better than house money.
Let's play a hand. You've got a shoe here. You know, in our remaining time with you, Mike. Let's take this to the street. Let's go practical here. And I don't mean the actual street because we'd be murdered.
Yeah. So let's. I mean, this is a. Let's look at this particular. This is one of the most misplayed hands in blackjack.
I'm looking at a 10 of clubs and a 2 of clubs.
So
hold on. Let me confirm that. Yeah.
Paula counted the dots on the 2.
Yeah, I did. I had a point to the 2.
A player total of 12 and the dealer showing a 3.
Yeah, the player has 12 and the dealer has 3.
Yeah. So what do you guys think is the correct play here?
I'm going to say, Paula, answer this question.
Football.
Well, actually, football bust you here.
I would take a hit.
And I would stand.
Great. Paula, you're correct.
Thank you.
You take a hit on 12.
Oh, my God. Exactly. Would you mind recording that phrase before you leave?
You got potential, Paula. Definitely.
Wow.
But
my gosh.
The
I love
beauty,
hearing that.
You know, when I got recruited onto the team, the first thing I had to learn, it's called basic strategy. So, like, you know how players agonize over what to do, 12 versus 3, pair of 8s against 10? There's no need because the hard work was done years ago for all of us back in the mid-1950s by army mathematicians. Yeah, this is called basic strategy. And basically,
this was done by army mathematicians?
In the mid-1950s.
There you go. That's the military at work.
And so this shows the correct play for every single hand in blackjack. And this is mathematically proven.
Uh-huh.
So instead of like, why try to reinvent the wheel? So they gave me this chart. It didn't look as nice as this one, but I was like, fantastic. I don't need to figure it out.
Right. So now I can see in this chart that if the player has 12, which that hand is, Paul, you can count those dots if you want, and a dealer has 3, it says hit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There it is.
And then, yeah, there's just simple rules. Instead of memorizing every combination, just learn rules for the rows and the blocks, and then you can get it down much quicker. So, but yeah, for you guys, if the goal is to become a professional blackjack player, this is the first and most important step, mastering this basic strategy.
And can I bring this chart with me?
You can't bring this one because it's big and it has my name on it, so that wouldn't be good.
Is this downloadable on your website, by the way, or something?
It is, yeah. You can
go to micaponte.com or something.
Yeah, micaponte.com. You can download this website. I did not invent this. I just want to make it clear. This is one of the frustrating things. This information, like I said, it literally has been around for over 60 years, yet, you know, less than 1% of blackjack players utilize this strategy.
So I couldn't bring this, but what could I bring?
They sell, like in the gift shops, you can order on Amazon a small plastic basic strategy chart, and they'll let you bring it to you. In fact, it actually kind of
like
makes you look more clueless.
Quiz.
Yep, exactly. Ideally, if you want to actually move beyond that and become a card counter, you're going to want to learn it and master it so that you can take that energy and focus it on the counting. Right?
The counting card, yeah.
Yeah. But for someone going to Vegas, like this is going to give you the biggest bang for the buck.
Right.
Just bringing that chart. Play perfect basic strategy. Make sure the table you play at pays 3-2 on blackjack and flat bet.
Okay.
Like, and just pick a budget. Don't go there to make a fortune. You know, that's where people get in trouble, right?
Said something about not changing your bet either.
Exactly. If you're not counting.
If you're not
just
counting.
Just flat bet.
Flat bet. That's what you mean. Okay.
The exact time.
Bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because but one of the biggest things that gets people in trouble is betting progressions. Are you guys familiar with that? Like if you bet $10, lose, bet 20, and they just keep doubling until they win.
Right.
But that is a surefire way to go bankrupt because at some point you're going to hit that losing streak. So casinos, just so for the record, casinos love gamblers who use betting progressions. And it's like one of those, you know, one of those basic principles in life. Doesn't that seem too good to be true?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. I bet Dan Cronin bets progressively. And at the roulette table.
Yeah.
Dan, if you don't, you'll just have to write into the show and let us know. Well, Mike Apani, thank you for dealing us in. Paula, having heard all this, what advice can you give listeners and yourself about your potential career as a professional blackjack player?
Oh, it's going to be very positive. Dana, could you give me a little background music for my future career? The container that holds the cards is called a shoe, and it's the only shoe at the table that cards are allowed in. Betting progression is bad. If you're losing, it's throwing good money after bad, and if you're winning, your luck won't last forever. There's a blackjack betting chart that was invented by the army during peacetime, I assume. If the dealer has 3 and you have 12, you hit. And I knew that. Mike was only here to back me up. You're not supposed to split 2 10s. But if I do, and I'm sitting beside you, don't be rude about it. You don't win or lose because of the player sitting beside you. Besides, I'm about to win $14 million.
Mike Aponte won the World Series of Blackjack in 2004 and now coaches blackjack and speaks at universities and corporations. You can find him at MikeAponte.com. Thanks for being on our show, Mike. The cat of the week is Madame Meow from Santa Rita, Guam.
Hey, listener. It's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the
okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
All right, since we're talking about good food and nutrition, and thank you again, Diana Morgan. That was just fantastic. This is a perfect time to bring on our next house guest. Allison Rue is a certified nutrition specialist who teaches health education at AMDA, the renowned training school for actors. She specializes in eating behavior and primarily focuses on those in the creative fields. Just the person Paula needs to speak with. Please welcome Allison Rue.
Thank you so much for joining us, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to get to this right away, Paul.
I just first want the listeners to know. I want the listeners to know that we have offered Allison repeatedly double stuffed Oreos and Doritos, which I bring every week. And she has, as if it is just in her nature to do so, turned them down at every turn.
Okay, that is true. And so that brings us right to our first question. Allison, yeah. I've seen Paula's eat dinners composed of nothing but Doritos and Diet Pepsi. And she's done it many, many times. So that raises a very important question. Can you be a vegan and be super unhealthy at the same time?
I think it's really important that people still embrace foods that they love and that they embrace them in a way that...
That's why I'm sticky.
...brings them joy.
I thought I wasn't eating it right, and I realized now I was embracing the food
that I love. You were embracing the food. Okay, so... Embrace the foods that give you joy, and is there any other caveats you might want to attach to that as a nutrition, looking at a person eating Doritos and Diet Pepsi for dinner multiple nights?
Well, it's such an individual thing. It has so much to do with your genetic makeup and the luck of the dice that you happen to roll in terms of your genetics.
My line of people thrive on this diet.
Right. My mother was a Doritovore.
That's right.
Her mother was a Doritovore.
Yeah.
Maybe. And card sounded, I'm going to eat Doritos for dinner.
The only thing we never knew how to do was broil them. But we ate them.
Just raw Doritos. Right,
so it's an individual. Is there a... Now, in the United States, do we overemphasize protein?
So there tends to be a little bit of an overemphasis, especially recently on protein. And I think a lot of the fitness movements that we've had have been really focusing on protein. And we do need protein. We need mm-hmm. protein not only to build muscle. We need protein to make neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. But most of us, as long as we're having some kind of protein source at a meal, we're probably meeting our nutritional needs.
Now, if you don't eat meat, what are those protein, what kind of protein? And I don't eat nuts either. I hate nuts. To me, nuts interrupt
so
the food.
So can Paula get the protein she needs from double stuffed Oreos is I think what she's asking.
Yeah.
I am actually not familiar with
The double stuffed Oreos?
Oh, protein content.
I've got a package right here because Paula brings one every week. It's got a total fat content of, and this is a two cookie serving.
That's not a serving.
7 grams and 2 grams of saturated fat. Protein, less than 1 gram per two cookies.
Is that enough?
No, it's not. You definitely need more protein than that.
Oh, for
you want to break out the Doritos package?
Well, keep in mind, these are the double stuff.
They are. Yeah.
But if that
maybe
stuff
that,
is
yeah, but maybe
crap,
that maybe you get, you're reading the maybe the what do you call that, the nutrition facts are from the single stuff and they just put them on the double stuff. These are double. I'm getting double, so I think I'm getting.
You're getting double less than 1 gram.
It's fantastic.
Okay, so Allison, what are 3 nutrition myths? Like, can you give us some like flashcard nutrition stuff? What do people get wrong about nutrition?
Yeah,
the protein content of double stuffed Oreos.
I'm going to start with my first favorite myth, and that's this obsession with the need for cleanses and detoxing. Our livers do a pretty darn good job most of the time of doing that for us, and you know, unless somebody has lead poisoning or mercury poisoning, or they've been exposed to some kind of actual classified toxin, they probably don't need to be doing any kind of detox or cleanse.
Yeah. So and a cleanse just means that you poop a lot. Am I correct about that?
You could not summarize it better. You know, honestly.
Thank you. I wish you'd record that for me.
I think that a lot of times people feel so much better when they do them because they all of a sudden are able to go to the bathroom a lot more comfortably. And that is a very nice thing that we all deserve in life. And
you know, I have so long felt that we all deserve to go to the bathroom comfortably.
Yeah.
And I've
your 1998 campaign was based on that as a slogan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It wasn't make America great again. It was make America go to the bathroom comfortably again.
Yeah.
And
you were
no,
ahead
I've,
of your time.
I've really never heard anyone articulate it the way you just did, but that's right. That's a basic human right to go to the bathroom comfortably.
So cleanse is kind of bullshit. What else?
Also, I think that coffee is bad is a myth. You know, there definitely is a cap on caffeine for most people. For the general public, it's usually around 300 milligrams of caffeine, which is probably in about, you know, 2 cups of coffee, maybe a really fancy cup of coffee.
So you shouldn't have more than 2 cups of coffee a day, you're saying?
Because isn't there every now and then a story will come out that says, like, you know, coffee's good for you.
Exactly. And for some people, coffee is very helpful. It's a natural stimulant, and in certain amounts, it might be a good fit. Now, there definitely are some people who have a genetic predisposition to being very sensitive to caffeine, and they probably don't feel very good when they have coffee, and they probably know that.
I have a manager who drinks a lot of coffee, and then she'll like ask you the same question from several different angles.
Now,
and
is that
she'll call you up while she's emailing you. Is that sort of communication overlap, I think she has. And I think it's caused by coffee. And by the way, this incident often takes place at 3 or 4 in the morning. So
that could easily be coffee related, right, Allison?
Sounds like it.
There's a problem
now,
there.
Should you, here's a very specific thing. Should you force your kids to eat if they're not hungry?
Here's the thing. It's a complex question because we actually shouldn't force our kids to eat anything.
Oh.
And there is a lot of theory and training around how to feed kids. And especially when you look at a typical healthy toddler, they're actually really good at consuming what has been offered to them and giving you the signal of when they're done.
Yeah.
And at some point, we stop knowing how to do that. We see a lot of diet culture. We're told this is good for us. This is bad for us. And we lose that ability to listen to that fullness cue that we have naturally within us.
Do we naturally have kind of an ability to tell what kind of foods we're needing?
To some degree, yes. I mean, inherently, I know we keep joking about the bathroom situation, but most of us can tell, oh, wow, I ate this way and I felt really good today. Or I know when I eat this way and I eat these foods, I'm able to do my job better and I don't have to worry about anything. So we do have the inherent ability to eat what is called intuitively, where we really respond to hunger cues, knowing it's time to eat, fullness cues, and seeing how we can respect those. So
well, that's why I eat so many Doritos and double stuffed Oreos.
Your body's telling you to
my
do it?
My body is saying, and I sometimes will say to my body, how about the single stuff? And my body says, no. No, the double stuff. Yeah.
Okay, let's flip over to what we're missing. Overall, people in this nation, is there something that we need in our diet that we're all not getting right now?
Well, I'm going to give you the answer from my heart, which is self-compassion. I think we're missing self-compassion. We have a lot of black and white thinking around food, and it ends up leading to a lot of people feeling a lot of shame around their choices.
But it, just for the record, in case you're just trying to protect Paula's feelings here, she's not going to feel shame.
Oh, I feel shame.
Oh, you do? Like you go on a double stuff and Dorito binge and you're kind of ashamed of yourself?
No, but I do eat bread when really all I wanted was the butter on it. And I just felt like it was rude, shameful
butter.
To pick up the stick of butter and eat it. Although when I was a kid, I did. I think it was either my fourth or fifth birthday. My parents gave me a pound of butter.
As a birthday present?
Yes.
Because they knew you liked butter, or is that where
yes,
that started?
And I ate it like candy bars.
Really?
And you know what? Yum.
Butter contains butyrate, which is one of the favorite...
I love butyrate!
You did not know what butyrate was.
What are you kidding
me?
I love butyrate. What is it?
It's one of the preferred fuel sources for what are called the colonocytes, which are the cells that line the intestinal tract. And it helps feed a healthy gut flora balance, essentially.
So the
there
fact
you
that
go.
Yeah, all right. Healthy gut flora balance. Okay. Yeah, you've got that. So I love that you're not gonna resort to criticizing Paula in any way. I guess that's gonna have to be.
No, she loves my diet.
She doesn't love your diet.
She loves my diet.
She loves the idea of people being okay with themselves.
No, secretly she's made a signal to me that the listeners cannot see.
She hasn't.
Asking if perhaps we could go in on a cookbook together. Yes, she has.
No.
Now what about dairy, Allison? Is dairy okay?
You know what? I don't think it is necessary. I think it really fits well for some people and not for others. 70% of adults at least have some degree of lactose intolerance.
Wow.
Yeah.
And lactose intolerance would do what? It would give you a stomachache?
Stomachache,
gas. A lot of phlegm,
bloating, burping.
Because I can't stop clearing my throat tonight.
But you haven't had any milk?
No, I had a pull off a cow out of Miranda.
Oh, yeah, now that's weird.
Yeah, there's a cow out there.
It's usually mattresses.
Near the mattresses tonight. There's a cow. Yeah. It was there to
you
eat.
You should never take a pull off of a random cow.
Listen, my body was telling me. Oh. I was listening to my internal menu. Yeah, my body
just
was telling me.
That's just going
to
be your thing from now on.
Drink from that
cow. You'll
have
Allison to thank for it when you're dying of scurvy or something.
I don't think you get scurvy from a cow. Do you, Allison? Can you get scurvy from a cow?
It is not a communicable disease.
There you go.
I wasn't implying that you'd get scurvy from a cow.
I'm just saying that
you're using things that Allison has been saying about being good to yourself as justification to eat the crap that you always eat.
I don't think if I took a pull off a cow out of Miranda Avenue that would be justification for eating the stuff that I always eat. That would be a unique experience. It's not something I do all the time. That cow's not out there every day. Let me just do quickly for you a balloon animal of what I saw.
Oh, no.
Of the udder.
You know what? If you did a balloon animal right now and you were just trying to do a cow's udder, that would be fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Given your balloon animal skills.
And then I'll make a suckling noise from it. All right, Allison, we are way off topic.
How did that happen? All right,
I have tried briefly to try to eat healthier, not tonight, but in my life in general, I have moved to, not Tuesday nights, but I have moved to healthier eating because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
What did she do to you?
Well, nothing, but I want... if she needs an organ, I would like to be able to give it to her.
Oh, that's what that's about?
Yeah.
Oh, you just want to keep her in there.
Exactly.
As a bulwark against.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, you need a kidney. Hold on. I'll get it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought this was going to be something practical. Like, I know that she eats healthily and I want to live to be her age and be that sharp. But no, you just want to be able to give her a kidney.
I have no idea what she... I don't think she eats at all. Have you seen her? She's very small.
Yeah, she's very thin.
Yeah.
Okay, Allison, is there a food that we should completely avoid? Like, are there foods that you're willing to say... Yeah, don't eat much of that because that's not good for you.
Probably whatever food gives you diarrhea would be one to avoid.
Okay.
But she's really, really feels that this is totally unique to different people. Well, that
you're just trying to justify your diet again.
No, I'm not. No, I'm. What I haven't told you is that after a night of double stuffed Oreos and Doritos, I have terrible diarrhea.
You do. I bet that's completely true.
Oh my gosh!
That's why you're trying to hustle Allison out the door right now.
No,
I'm let her come back to the microphone.
I'm up till like, you know, 3 a.m. Don't even bother stopping by Ray Horseman Studios. No, I was just going to ask you, what about eggs? Remember a couple years ago, people said eggs were bad, and then the egg companies come back with that ad, you know, the incredible edible egg, and they made it all look so yummy and delightful. What about eggs?
So we really got the science around eggs wrong for many decades. They do contain cholesterol, but we don't necessarily, our cholesterol levels are not necessarily impacted by dietary consumption of cholesterol. They're more impacted by dietary consumption of very specific types of saturated fats and your genetic predisposition.
Oh, because you know what? I have high cholesterol, but I don't eat eggs anymore. And you don't think it could be the double stuffed Oreos, do you?
Well, I think
we can answer that question. In fact, we already have answered that question, and I'm going to answer it again. A two cookie serving of double stuffed Oreos, total fat 7 grams. That's 11% of the.
Yeah, but there's good fat and bad fat, isn't
and
there,
Allison? Here we go. Saturated fat. Saturated fat. Which I believe what she's talking about.
Yeah.
2 grams. 2 grams.
That's
1 gram of saturated fat per double stuffed Oreo.
Well, I'm also, I mean, when we get labs back and a doctor says, you know, you have high cholesterol or you want to start watching your blood sugar, that's when it's time to maybe start seeing, okay, if I try to incorporate these foods, what happens when I have my labs redone in 4 months? Does it get better or worse? And that's a way we can kind of check in with the body about our food choices.
One thing, my body hates needles. My body says absolutely no to that sort of behavior. No, but I did have a blood test she said. That I had high cholesterol, but I think she was high.
And so you didn't try altering your diet by even going down to single stuff Oreos. You just...
No. But I actually, at that time, I wasn't eating as many double stuffed.
You increased your intake of double stuffed Oreos after your doctor said you had high cholesterol.
Yeah, she didn't say, don't eat those.
Did you say, I eat these?
No. Because I didn't at that time. I ate mostly peanut butter and jelly. Okay. I did confess to eating fake butter. I eat the, what's it called? Earth Balance.
Uh-huh.
Is that Earth Balance? You know that? Is that bad? It's not bad, is it?
It's bad.
No, it's not, is it?
We could let the nutritionist speak and tell us. That's always an option if we want to know if something's good or bad.
Are there any foods, Allison, that make you talk more than other foods?
Probably coffee and Diet Coke.
Doritos. Diet Coke, yeah. Okay.
Well, fortunately, I drink Diet Pepsi, so that would never happen to me.
Thing.
You know, something about that cow is utter.
To me. The cow? Yeah, you shouldn't take a hit off a strange cow. That's like safety 101.
No, I think it caused furry stuff in my throat.
Yeah, it might not have even been a cow, and that disturbs me. I've been around this neighborhood for several months now. Allison.
It said it was.
When people go on diets, and I've done that many times in my life, that's Paula making the cow sound. Why does the weight loss not last? Because it usually doesn't, right?
It does not.
Okay, now why is that?
It doesn't last for a variety of reasons. Primarily, we are wired to survive. And when we restrict, we will then compensate for that restriction by eating in a way that helps us survive. And most of us also may have a set point body size that we're meant to be at.
Uh-huh.
And it's our... in some ways, genetic destiny. Does that mean that there's a certain place where you're eating plenty of vegetables, you're having good quality proteins, you're getting in fruits, you're getting in healthy fats, you're drinking plenty of water? There's going to be a place that everybody lands nutritionally where their body functions well. And that's the key point, is to try to shift away from weight being the goal here, and the goal being blood sugar management, cholesterol management, energy levels.
And butyrates.
And butyrates.
The goal is butyrates. goal is to get those butyrates.
You're just getting excuses to eat more butter.
No, I'm not. Butyrates! Butyrates! Get your butyrates!
Well, thank you, Allison, for letting us know how to stay healthy.
Paula?
I'm good.
You really sound bad, that cough there. But if you want to put down the bag of double stuffed Oreos and stop coughing and rise up off your deathbed to tell us why your diet's great, can you offer us, our listeners, some advice about nutrition?
But when you try to drink
nutrition?
Those, the last crumbs of the Doritos out of the bag,
yeah.
They can go down the wrong pipe.
They really can.
And, so, and then what happens is they get mixed up in the fuzz you get from the cow's udder, and it creates a tickling in your...
That's probably what's happening. So are you ready to offer some advice? And as a caveat... Before you start offering this advice...
The cow had a caveat.
Yeah. Before you offer that advice, I'm just advising our listeners, before hearing the Poundstone advice on nutrition, to turn their volume down to zero.
Oh, my advice? So you say don't listen to... But what I'm doing is I'm capsulizing Allison's advice.
So, Paula, what do you now know about nutrition that you can impart to the rest of us?
I'm an expert on nutrition now. Diana... Give me a little salty music for my nutrition. Bodies have internal cues for healthy eating, and it's different for different people. New eaters are very good at knowing when they're full. And this is important. We all deserve to use the bathroom comfortably. Cleanses are the new unnecessary craze. Our livers already do a great job of cleansing. And if Ruth Bader Ginsburg's goes bad for any reason, I'll stop eating double stuffed Oreos to prepare myself to donate my liver to her. By the way, our nutritionist didn't say that. I did. I just thought it bore repeating. Butter contains butyrate, which helps feed gut flora. And there's nothing greater in the spring than a beautiful bouquet of gut flora.
Okay. Allison Rue is an educator, speaker, clinical nutritionist, and theater artist. Allison, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Diana Morgan, our house band. If you have a question for Paula about nutrition, career advice, or anything, email it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And if you have a theme song for us, email it to the same address, nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. How hard is that? Find us on Facebook, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and follow Paula and me, Adam, on Twitter. Paula, you're always on the road. It's a thing you do, and I know... When you're on that road, you might take a hit off a cow. Where are you going to be soon?
Not a strange cow. On September 29th, I'll be at the Santander Performing Arts Center in Reading, Pennsylvania. And on October 19th, I'm at the Empire Theater in San Antonio, Texas. And you can get all the information, guess where? At my website, www.paulapoundstone.com. You can even buy T-shirts there. And you know, my T-shirts are remarkably soft tri-poly blend.
Yes, they are. Paula, perhaps there's a market for those T-shirts, I'm going to say, in Hungary. Anyway, they seem to be listening to your show there, but here, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by the great Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, flutist and flautist and piccolotist, Diana Morgan. You can find her at dianamorgan.net. Thanks again to our guests, Mike Aponte and Allison Rue. Our security guard at Ray Horseman Studios is Jonah Muscles Glickman.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Paula, you're correct.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.